I'd had a lot of healing already. So we had to do a montage our first week, how we saw God. And you might even see the face in the clouds with that crown of light. That's the Father looking on the child. And I've got the word fun there. That wasn't in my theology when I was going through Bible college. Multi-dimensional, colour, other. God's still holy, you know. We're not trying to change some things. The website, love at any cost, www.lourock. It's quite simple. I did How I Saw God 10 years before that, and it's pretty creative, but it was a lot more cluttered with other things. Okay? Keep it simple, wonderful, not stupid. Amen. Don't say the wrong thing, boy. Right. But he says it with a twinkle, a smile. Oh, does that make sense? Because the fourth one is it's really a specialist performance one, but we call it a separate one, authoritarian. So we're going to do this fast, so we finish at 3:30 and can do some ministry or around there. Unless God changes that, unless God repents. And that's four times. Yeah, it was a joke. Okay.
Yeah,
for
the serious
ones. Okay. The authoritarian father is legalistic, majors on truth, letter of the law, and is more comfortable with truth, obedience, than love or intimacy. Authoritarian parent. Interesting, there were some books that advocated that in America, but the long-term fruit, actually James Dobson even addressed this very wisely. Often those kids were very, very good up till about 10 or 12, except if you did DVDs and saw them when they didn't have any authority around, they could be bullies and quite nasty. But when they got to teenagers, they often turned rebellious. Or if there were three or four, there'd be one who was the super good one and became the very kind of same as the parents. And others moved away. Okay? And there was a book and it was full of Christian verses. But his fruit wasn't really good. All right? Authoritarian. More comfortable with truth, obedience, and love or intimacy. Projected view of God. You believe God's harsh. Impatient. You may believe in your heart he's really only interested in the public areas of your life. You're a human doing, not a human being. It's clever words, hasn't it? Yeah. It's a mixture, as Frank Sinatra said, it's dooby-dooby-doo. Right. That's not bad. I'm doing it fast. We can become actually constantly looking for someone to blame, and we get pretty intolerant, or we get very intolerant of anyone who doesn't act or think the way we do. That's often a sign of it. Too authoritarian. Yes, it is a type of performance, but we put that one separate. You follow rules, you don't follow your heart. Whereas God's a bit different. Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you, it means to me, with loving kindness. Not this harsh, authoritarian thing. And Isaiah, and they were addressing pretty horrific things. You know, child sacrifice amongst the so-called Jewish people, mixing with all the religions. He says, chapter 30, verse 18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. He shows himself strong, is another way that Hebrews interpret it, to show you his compassion. This is the word. Okay, short one. not necessarily with the prayer.
It is really amazing how God loves us. And so often we feel more secure with laws, with church laws in the world. We feel safe. And we want God to do things the same way every time. It doesn't work like that.
No.
Which is just as well all life would be people work, right? So, all of us who have been legalistic, we can be safe from. And when we've had it modelled for us, sometimes we feel that's what being a Christian is. That we can't do this, we mustn't do that, we shouldn't do that. We have to do this. Right? So, many of us have had to grow out of that belief and know how much Father loves us. So, let's stand up. And for those of you who have an authoritarian father or figure in your life, just give us a wave. Yeah, headmaster.
Church.
Yes, church. You know the Brethren Church? I don't know how many of you in here have been Brethren. They actually repented for not allowing Holy Spirit. I don't know if you all heard that. They publicly repented for all those who they'd hurt. So Holy Spirit is breaking through in amazing ways to different organisations. So, but in the meantime, there can be damage that has happened in people's hearts, right? And it's all too easy to be a condemning person. So, Father, I come to you today because I want to be set free of all the effects of authoritarian fathers, pastors, teachers,
anything else I've come across.
Lord, I grew up believing
that law was what was important.
That so long as I didn't cross certain lines, I was okay.
That it was all about truth and law
instead of love and mercy.
That I had to obey without question.
That people were meant to push down feelings.
And only work with facts.
Lord, I forgive all those people.
Pastors, family.
Teachers.
Everyone who tried to force me.
Into a box.
Everyone who made me conform.
On the outside.
Lord, I repent for my sin.
Of rebellion.
And for learning.
That I could look good.
Even when disobeying in my heart.
Lord, I want to line up.
Spirit, soul, and body.
I want to believe with my heart.
And confess with my mouth.
To be in unity.
And to live truth in love.
Lord, I always tried to find a scapegoat.
Or I felt like I wasn't good enough.
Or that I was better than everyone else.
Lord, please forgive me for the influence.
This has had on my life. Lord, forgive me for learning to judge and criticize in an ungodly way.
For following the rules.
Not even asking you what you wanted. going by my head, not my heart.
Going by my head, not my heart.
And attacking anyone else,
and attacking anyone else
who didn't act the way I thought they should.
Who didn't act the way I thought they should.
Lord, forgive me for imposing this on other people.
Lord, forgive me for imposing this on other people.
And for judging others.
And for judging others.
Lord, I want to be set free today.
Lord, I want to be set free today.
Can you please show me how you are?
Can you please show me how you are?
I thank you that you're not a formula God.
I thank you that you're not a formula God.
You made lots of formulas.
You made lots of formulas.
But they're unique for different situations.
But they're unique for different situations.
Thank you that you love me.
Thank you that you love me.
With an everlasting love.
With an everlasting love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That you love me.
That you love me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That you love me.
That you love me.
With an everlasting love.
With an everlasting love.
Thank you that you have drawn me.
Thank you that you have drawn me.
With loving kindness.
With loving kindness.
You long.
You long.
To be gracious to me.
To be gracious to me.
And to show me compassion.
And to show me compassion.
Lord, I repent.
Lord, I repent.
For every time I haven't known that.
For every time I haven't known that.
For the walls I've built.
For the walls I've built.
Because I'm so sure you've been angry.
Because I'm so sure you've been angry.
Lord, I remove those walls now.
I remove those walls now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, I welcome you.
Holy Spirit, I welcome you.
To come in and change me.
To come in and change me.
That my mind would be transformed.
That my mind would be transformed.
So that I can walk in the mind of Christ.
So that I can walk in the mind of Christ.
And be free.
And be free.
To live by the law of love.
To live by the law of love.
And to know that love and joy.
And so
fun.
And fun.
Are all okay.
Are all okay.
All right.
Hey, you can sit down. So, just another really, really quick analogy. There's this judge who's sitting in the courts, and he's a really good guy. The reason that he went and became a judge is because he wants to see justice. He wants to see the good people not go into jail. And one day when he's sitting in the courts, he hears about the next case, which is that this teenage boy has broken into a store because he didn't have any money. He was with his friends and he got caught by the police and he stole a whole bunch of expensive things and broke it. And there's a lot of evidence, and the judge knows that he's going to have to fine this person because they have done something wrong. And when they walk into the courtroom, the judge does a double take because that person is his son. As a judge, what do you do? A good judge has to pass the verdict. He can't just say, hey guys, this guy has a gold card. Yeah, sorry, he has to be set free. So what the judge does is he says, okay, you have to pay for this, you have to do hours of community service, and that kind of thing. But remember that the reason this person stole is because they couldn't afford things, and they were just doing that so that they could get money. So he passes the verdict, but then once the court session is over, he goes to his son. He says, son, I love you, I'll pay so that you don't have to do this out of your own money. God's that kind of God, that there are consequences for what we do badly, but God redeems us. He's paid for all of our transgressions and all of our sins, and so when we do come into that place, he's the one who's going to be our advocate, like Dad was saying before. He's the one who's going to bridge the gap, pay the fine, and set us free.
Right. We're going to have the next one, Raymond, teach and minister to. But we have to mention that it's called the abusive father. And I've never thought of this before, but The abusive father can be quite unpredictable as well. So they can have very nice sides. But they inflict deep emotional pain. And there can be physical abuse, like the alcoholic. He beats the mother in front of you when you're a child. You know, or he beats you up. Sexual abuse on you. Emotional abuse. They only criticize and demean to such a point that they are actually abusive, yeah. Verbally abusive. Mothers too, there. Yeah. Occasionally, you know, and fathers too. But we call it abusive, and okay, there are degrees of abusive, and we find many people don't know about an abusive cycle. Usually once they get some relief by doing that, they go through their own sort of, I'm sorry about that, and they're quite nice for a while, and then it builds up again, and it happens again. So for those involved in counselling, trust has to get earned. Okay, so we're not saying with this forgiveness thing, just live under the abusive thing. Okay? Raymond had she was actually a pastor in China, a Chinese woman. She lived at home with her divorced parents who lived in the same house, and the father was verbally abusive to her in every way. She's in the late 30s. Because he couldn't really take it out on his wife anymore. And as she got set free, she finally said, "Dad, if you do this, I'm going to leave." She did, and she stayed reconciled with him. But she looks a lot freer, a lot younger. But boy, was that hard for her to do, to get rid of that insecurity. But I wonder if she was, I'll be real, I think, you know, singleness is a wonderful call, but no wonder she was still single, if I can be blunt. Yeah. She was living under a verbally abusive and maybe more father still. And yet she was a wonderful woman in the church, you know. But she did have a performance God as well. She kind of connected with that. And she thought she should be sacrificing and doing the things she hated to really make God happy. And Raven didn't go into the personal stuff, but I got to know her really well. And anyway, we couldn't share that story. We do keep confidentiality, right? But it's very good to know about that cycle. When we had someone staying with us, they were in their daughter was in an abusive cycle. And so when the partner was, "I'm sorry," we had to share how to set kind boundaries. And I said, how's God seen? He's the big cop in the sky. He's the God of wrath. He's to be feared but not trusted. And he hurts you if you let him get close. And he's very quick to punish. He's not really loving. And if we allow this, it takes deep roots at times. We become angry with God for not protecting us. You really have to work that one through. No one can really get their heads around all the dimensions of God and free will. And we feel inherently bad often. We feel we deserve punishment. We actually don't realize we're almost, we think of us as a victim, and actually there's a sad law of attraction going on there at times. Yeah, just be real. We're not going into it any deeper, but we do battle guilt, shame, unworthiness. We try to hide. We hide ourselves. And we do find it hard to draw close to God and trust him. And God says in his words, Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord God. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And the Father says it goes in reed. I will not break. This is our Father, our Abba. There's a whole lot more. But I know that there are some of you who have to deal with that in your past. And an abusive person and authority.
I just quickly want to cover the abuse cycle. I would normally do it in a lot more detail, but A, we don't have time, and B, you guys have resources to look it up. So if you are involved with people in abuse, or you think you might be being abused, please look up the abuse cycle. It basically goes like this. Abuse occurs, and then the next step, which most people do not realise, is reconciliation and making up. So the next step is, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that, didn't really mean it, I was tired of work, my boss was grumpy, blah, 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 blah. Won't do it again. And some people actually put up with the abuse because maybe their husband or whatever goes out and buys them lots of flowers and is really kind and super nice to them, sends them on holiday to try and do a payback, right? So then after that, there's a period of calm. And so the victim was thinking, well, I really shouldn't put up with this, but then they're apologising, oh, I'm sure it won't happen again. Everything calms down, and then it starts to get more and more and more and more and more and more tense, and there's a really tense period where they're worried that the guy's going to blow up again or whatever the situation is. And then finally the abuse occurs, and it's almost, in some situations, like, oh, right, now we can get back to normal. Okay? So from the abuser's side, they can feel the stress building as well, and they justify, you know, I'm only going to blow up once, that's okay. One guy I know, he only abused his wife once a year. So it was like, when it was over for the year, tick the box, right? That's not okay. You start to believe lies. And if you don't break that cycle... Yeah, if you don't break that cycle, it just gets more and more strong, and the period between abuse gets shorter and shorter. So it's really important the first time something happens that people seek help, because you're not going to get out of that cycle where you're still in the cycle. And the best time to break it is not in the I'm sorry this will never happen again stage, because you need to put boundaries in place. You need to be protected and safe. So there's a lot of things to read online, but I encourage you to do that. So with abuse, please hear us saying, if you are not in a safe situation, tell someone. Don't go confronting the abuser necessarily. There's safe ways to get out, okay? Especially if your life's at risk. Don't know if anyone in here is in that, but when I'm talking in China, the usually have people in that situation. You don't have to put up with abuse. God made you special. No one has the right to abuse you. Okay? So it's not because you're a bad person. That's a lie from the enemy. We are all super special and made in His image. And we deserve to be built up and appreciated for who we are. Okay? So, could do a lot on that, but we won't. But please know that it is very, very important that you don't leave yourself and especially children in dangerous situations. Right. So, let's stand up and pray. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up in this case, but we're all just going to pray. Father, I want to be set free of all abuse in my life. Lord, I've experienced abuse of different levels. Lord, I've been put down and emotionally abused. I've been physically abused in anger. I've been sexually abused. Spiritually abused. Abused by leaders. And I want to be set free. Lord, I've experienced a lot of pain. And I need your healing. I've begun to believe lies. About who I am. And that I'm not worth it. Lord, I welcome you. To reveal any cycles of abuse. Lord, where I thought it's normal or okay. Please open my eyes. Lord, I've come to believe lies about you. That you're like a big cop in the sky. Ready to beat me up if I do anything wrong. That you're a God of wrath, ready to zap me with lightning. That I'm not safe around you. Because you are to be feared and not trusted. That you're an unpredictable God. That you will hurt us if we let you get close. Lord, I believe that you will be quick to punish me. And that you are not a loving Father. Lord, these are all lies. I believe the lie. That I'm bad in myself. That I deserve punishment. That there's something wrong with me. And I've believed I have to hide. Because of the guilt and shame I've been under. I've believed that I'm not worthy. I've found it hard to draw close to you. Or to trust you. And I've been angry that you didn't protect me. Lord, I really need your help. To even begin to walk into freedom. To break out of this cycle. And Lord, where I've become an abuser myself.
I repeat.
And I ask you to help me. To be set free. And if that is you, you need to seek Lord, I thank you. That you do love me. That you are slow to anger. And you are quick to bless. I choose to receive your blessings. Thank you that you have great plans for my life. And you're even more upset than I was. About the abuse that's happened. Thank you, Lord, that you understand. And you promise you will not break us. That when you see we are bruised, you treat us gently and love us. I welcome your love, Father. Please show me that I'm worthy.
That I'm special.
And that you love me. Holy Spirit, give me courage. To choose to walk into freedom.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, so if that is you, ask the Lord. You will often need to get help with your abuse or abuse.
Yeah, does anyone know what the final type of father is called?
Good father.
Amen. The good father. Not the stepfather, although they can be good. Now, we all have some dimensions of this. you know, the person who calls forth significance. But a really, really good father does install love and security. And they call their sons and daughters to life. A really good parent. This is what we want to become. And grandparents as well. Well, what's the but to that? I mean, you know, Bethel has that generation coming through, so they don't need father heart. Is that true? All those wonderful ones who've had fantastic parents? No, there are no perfect earthly fathers, mothers. Okay, there's no one. And God in his word wants to be father. In fact, if somebody says, do you have the Holy Spirit? They used to say, that meant you could pray in tongues, and I have a wonderful gift in tongues, warfare ones, and so it builds me up. I use it a lot. But actually, Romans 8 says the Spirit calls you to cry out, what?
Abba
Father. Do you have the Spirit? Do you mean, can I really say Daddy in my heart? What do you mean? No. Oh, I thought that's what the word said. Anyway, we'll stop that clever little thing. But I once had somebody who came up to us, and as soon as I said I'd prayed in tongues 10 years, and I was lonely in a new city, they went, oh, okay, bye. And he's got to find someone who didn't do what they thought. And I asked the Lord, well, what really is, why was I feeling grieved there? And really, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing, you know. He will glorify me. Oh, that's what the word says in John. Okay. Teaching away. I get sidetracked teaching sometimes. Yeah. It can seem a bit dishonoring if you feel a bit hurt with your father when he's been such a great dad or mum. You can feel kind of a little bit guilty about it. You know, now you might have to watch through generational roots. They can also come out. That's been talked about. It's a biggie. But you just don't know why. You don't want to almost admit those things. And then one little fault that your father or mother did sometime in your life, you feel that's blaming. And you start to blame yourself for your own shortcomings. You're pretty together, but you're still kind of, oh, I shouldn't be so upset the time Dad said he would come to watch me graduate, and then I know he had an emergency, you know, as a busy pastor, but he missed my graduation, and it really got to me. But, oh, I shouldn't be like that, because he was a good dad, you know. There's no perfect earthly father. And you feel guilty about it. And just because we have a good father, a good mother, it is no guarantee we know how to receive heart love from Father God. We still have to humble ourselves and ask for his impartation of his love. Even if we've had wonderful earthly parents, we still have to be hungry ourselves. We still can't. James Jordan said the first time he almost started crying, but a woman went, I'm so happy you're helping all these wounded people. I had a good father. I've really enjoyed seeing this ministry helping all these other people. You know, thank you for what you're doing. It's just been brilliant. Because I don't really need it, but I'm really glad it's being done. This is so good. And she walked away, and James started crying. And he said, why is it, Lord? And Father said, my love is better than any father's love.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know that. She doesn't know there should be that hunger for his love. You know, his good jealousy. So, we still have to ask for grace, impartation to receive from our Father God. Although in my first case, my most amazing encounter in some ways I was hungry for more of God. I was up a hill 30 more years ago, and Father came and had me sit on his knee. And I felt like a 7 or 8 year old when my dear dad stopped me sitting on his knee. And then he spoke to me, "You're a very good boy, John." And it ministered to where I was emotionally, although I was further than that too. And I shared that, and they actually thought it was a demon, my guy in leadership, and I had to really work through, because they had no grit that God could be so encouraging. He thought I hadn't realized I was a sinner, and I had to come back after 3 weeks, and my leader assigned to me said, I needed ministry myself. But this was before this Father Heart stuff, as I said to you yesterday. It's really only been revealed for about 20 years, and then Jack Winter carried it. But he had packed out meetings when he was doing healings, and they are good, by the way, I love healings. But packed out meetings, when he did the Father Heart meetings, there would only be about 9 or 10 people in the hallway, and he just kept doing it, and God said that's the only message you had to carry to the body. You know, it wasn't a thing to do when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. Or except through the head. Yeah. Okay. We can even think we have a good view of Papa God, but we still don't let him come to the intimacy he desires. The full level of intimacy. It's kind of like, yeah, God wants us to be perfect. The word is grow up. Talios is the Greek, mature. So we kind of, we're actually stuck still immaturely how we view God, because we are all on a journey. And he is committed to us growing up his way in love. So we kind of have the Papa God truth, but we don't allow that intimacy. And don't come under the wrong condemnation here. You understand? Some of you were then, I think. But allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Okay? So we've really got to still desire that. So actually, others with the Good Father, they are Christians who relate mostly to Jesus and Holy Spirit. I actually... I've got to watch it, but I almost do that. I do it naturally. There's a gift there, but I can sort of tell which churches have really just Jesus, and he is all, you know. He's even called Everlasting Father in one verse. But they have an intimacy with Jesus, and my journey with Father Heart means my kind of intimacy with Jesus is changing, by the way. It shapes down there. And there are other churches that relate to Holy Spirit and Jesus. And you don't outgrow Holy Spirit. You don't outgrow Jesus. But they really are. That's where they're stuck. I'm sorry. It's true. Please don't come in... I can't stand that church because it's not there. I've had to watch my own attitude, or I can get into pride there. But there's still, it still is true. And actually, we're really wanting that intimacy with Father God if we look at it. And what does the word say? Psalm 45, 10, 11. I think that was David. But boy, was he a prophet as well. Listen, O daughter, consider and give ear. Forget your people and your father's house. And it goes on to sort of even your own generation, your own people, your own father's house, that place, have me as the first love. You know, God first, me first. A positive 2 Corinthians 6:18. This is God's promise. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And it's quoting actually 2 Samuel 7:14 and 15. Links together. I will be a father to you. That's God. So kind of get with it, align yourself, go with the glory flow. But so even us with good fathers or lots, my own dad was a fantastic dad looking back at him. Yeah, brilliant guy. And here was me thinking I had to be in competition with him. And I didn't receive the fullness. And so when I had some amazing prophetic healings, I became more like my father. And when people said that, who knew my earthly dad in Christchurch, I actually felt honored because I was whole enough. For people to say, hey, you're so like your dad, and I never used to be. I was proud as a teenager because my dad didn't talk as much, even although he was brilliant. So I hid behind talking a lot. I was extremely popular, you know. Yeah. And I was really trying to be a little bit different from my dad, to forge my own identity. But there was something fallen in that process that I had to be healed from. You know, it wasn't because he was abusive or some of those other things. Yeah. God wants to be a father to all of us. He is a father to us. He is already. Yeah. And
so as a good father, God is there for you. He is present. He lavishes his full attention on you. It's not just like if he had a cup, it's not like you just have a sip. He gives you the whole entire thing. He's not passive, he's there for you, and he's happy with you as you are. You don't have to strive to earn his love. He doesn't say, you have to do this or else. He's not the type of person who has so many rules and regulations that there's not really a relationship there. He is loving, he is comforting, he is accepting of you, who you are. He's not the type of person who breathes fire and brimstone upon the earth. He's not even the type of God who sits on the throne and goes, oops, sinner, zap. You know, he is a loving, caring father. And he says, once again, in Isaiah 42, verse 3, that a bruised reed I will not break. He's not the type of person who will hurt you. Instead, he gives you love and security. He raises you up and he lets all of heaven say, hey, check it out. This is my son. This is my daughter. He is the type of father who takes that picture you drew and pins it on the fridge so that all the guests who come into your house can see that. He's the one who stands there with open arms for you all of the time and who supports you and who builds you up and who calls you into all it is that you are to be. He is supportive, and you can say anything to God, anything at all in your heart, and he's not going to think less of you because of that, because he's such a good father. He has, you have his DNA in you. Because you carry that life inside of you, people can see what it's like to be a son and a daughter. And God loves you so, so, so much, just like a parent loves their child, without those children having to do anything. God is wonderful. And God is the perfect father. He's all that you can imagine. He's all that you can imagine, and then infinity times that in how loving he is. And he takes us onto his lap, and he plays with us, and he, in our journey of life, if we trip over, he helps us up, and then he walks with us the rest of the way. So I'm just going to hand it over to Mona.
What an awesome father we have. So let's just stand up and do this prayer. Father, I thank you that I had a good father. Thank you for the privilege of growing up in a house with good role models, of seeing people around me who reflected your love. Okay, sorry, not a lot of grief going on in the room. I know. So if this isn't true of you, then don't come under grief and condemnation, okay? Lord, I choose to release the grief of all the times my father wasn't there.
Or wasn't perfect.
And I thank you, Lord. That someone instilled love and security into my life. Lord, it's dishonoring.
It feels dishonoring
to say my father wasn't perfect.
But that's reality.
So I choose to forgive them today for the pain they caused in the times they made mistakes. Lord, I release my perfect father so that I can be free also from the burden of needing to be a perfect parent. In Jesus' name, I break the lie that I have to be perfect. And I say it's okay to make mistakes and learn from them. And I thank you that you love me anyway. And Lord, where I felt I don't need you, because I had a good relationship with my dad, I apologize. And I say I want all the love that you have to pour out on me.
I choose your love.
I want to welcome you, Father.
I thank you for Jesus and Holy Spirit.
But Father, I want your love.
I want to be your son.
To know that I'm loved no matter what.
And to be proud of the family I'm part of.
I welcome you to come and heal any broken parts.
To break down any walls that are still there.
Okay, we're switching us to all fathers. In Jesus' name.
I repent.
For any ungodly examples I've given.
For being absent, passive, performance oriented, authoritarian, or abusive parent, or teacher, or pastor, or leader.
Lord, I want to change.
I welcome you to change my heart.
And I ask that you would step in and heal all those who've been wounded by my sin.
Lord, in your mercy, restore relationships, and give me an opportunity for all those who are still on earth that I can pass on your love.
And correct the wrong ways I've portrayed you. I welcome your love, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you.
Holy Spirit, I thank you.
That you always bring conviction.
That you always bring conviction.
And not condemnation.
Not condemnation.
And I refuse condemnation.
I refuse condemnation.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
But I welcome you, Lord.
And I welcome you, Lord.
To show if there needs to be restoration.
To show if there needs to be restoration.
And if I need to humble myself.
And if I need to humble myself.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.